Part 1. The Year-Rounders. Chapter 1. When news spread that Paul Benchley was bringing a foster care kid to stay with him rent-free at his house on Young's Road, many of his neighbors were understandably concerned. They had seen, all too recently, what outsiders were capable of. Not 3 months ago, during the Sycamore High senior picnic, a row of car windows had been smashed along Main Road. Some assumed it was a disgruntled student who'd failed out of Sycamore. But many more were sure it was the work of a delinquent. An unknown intruder pillaging the village for purses and electronics as Orient's proud graduating class danced on the nearby football field to bittersweet pop songs and the sex and gun ballads of hip-hop. Pam Muldoon, whose daughter Lisa's car was looted in the robbery, was particularly enraged, so much so that even Orient year-rounders wondered if Pam was coming slightly unhinged. By graduation, most had forgotten about the whole episode. Lisa Muldoon herself could be found jogging on the beach by Bug Lighthouse, the iPod she'd lost in the incident replaced by a newer, lighter one clipped to her shorts. Pam, on the other hand, couldn't let it go. Within days, she announced that she'd started her own fund for the victims, pointing out that several kids didn't have the insurance to cover the damages. Throughout those grueling summer evenings, during the most dangerous season for Lyme disease contraction, Pam Muldoon went door to door with a small brown bag in her hand, disturbing her neighbors' dinners to ask for donations. Not a few residents winced as they scrounged around for a folded Alexander Hamilton after spotting her beelining up their steps. Her path might have seemed erratic. She canvassed three houses, then bypassed the next two, far fancier homes, with their pristine lawns and expensive cars ticking in the driveways like beds of fertile locusts. But Pam knew every house in Orient, and she chose only the year-rounders to bother with her missionary work. To draw a map of Pam Muldoon's hopscotch course on those early summer evenings would be to chart Orient's changing demographics. It occurred to Pam that even 5 years ago she would have stopped at nearly every house. But so many city dwellers had descended upon the village in recent years that the tight-knit community had seemed to unravel, shedding countless native families who couldn't resist cashing in on the spiraling market value of their plots, despite the shoddy brick two-stories that often graced them. It was as if some noxious spell had blown across the bay from the south, transforming ordinary houses into exotic weekend getaways for the city's idle rich. Pam could remember a time when a bright coat of paint or a new backyard pool served as a point of communal pride. Now it meant something different. Another empty set of chairs at the monthly council meeting. Another late-night party spilling a scuttle of beer cans into the gutter. Another pair of pale, spidery Manhattanites eyeing her grove of Spanish roses while frantically cell-phoning friends to describe the guts and bones of a potential easy-pick investment. Perhaps even the Muldoon's house. She stopped in front of what had once been the house of Frank and Elizabeth Daltwater. Elizabeth had babysat her as a child, and Pam had returned the favor by watching over the Daltwater girl for 2 winters. The Daltwaters had moved last year to a retirement village in Stony Brook, thanks to the $2 million windfall that came when they sold their house. Now, Pam noticed, there were untreated cane swings swaying on the porch, oh so preciously decorated with Indonesian batik pillows. Through the house's ancient hand-blown parlor windows, a horrendous neon light art installation blinked 2 words, get, then off. She kept walking. The city people brought their decorators and landscapers and imported Japanese plum trees, but with them came city problems, not least of all, an uptick in crime. It wasn't just the window-smashing incident. Last month, the brass placard had been stolen from the United Church of Christ, and vandals marred the Civil War obelisk on Village Lane with spray paint. A weekender's intoxicated guest tripped the alarm on the historic Old Point Schoolhouse at 3 in the morning, claiming he was looking for a place to take a leak. Some year-rounders wondered why Pam took these outsider invasions so personally. But what wasn't personal about safety issues in her own neighborhood? Lisa might be heading off to college, but she had two impressionable boys to look out for. To Pam, the threat of city encroachment was real and visceral. She actually pictured Orient as a kind of tapestry, its land shaped like a flame, unraveling at every weft and edge, leaving only a few remaining threads to hold the illusion of an unspoiled image. A kid like Bobby Murphy, he doesn't have wealthy parents. He can't do much more than go into the military and fight for this country. How was he supposed to pay for the damage to his car? And what would be next? Smashed house windows? Didn't her neighbors see that she was trying to save what they had left? So went Pam Muldoon into the June of a summer heatwave.